What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 409, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something that gives a little kickback and keeps the podcast ongoing. With me, of course, is my co-host Ryan in the purple shirt. Is that a, what kind of shirt is that? Okay, it's a Twitch. I always think like the purple is either the Twitch or the NZXT shirt.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't have an NZXT shirt.
Oh, so. you gotta get on them. Gotta say NZXT. Send me a t-shirt. T-shirt. We are in the thick of Computex, which is super busy. There's so many things, and we haven't covered half of it yet because there's just so much. It's like one of those things that it's just like CES. There's so much coming out. There's so many companies showing off products. There's just a lot going on. So I picked out some of the most interesting things that I've seen so far. Obviously, we're not at the show, but we're covering it from afar. And we've picked out quite a lot of stuff. Before we get into that, we have a new case review from Lee and Lee. We're also going to check out a really cool case mod and tell you about some other stuff as well. So let's just jump right into that brand new case review. And this is from Lee and Lee. Like I said, it is their SUP or S-U-P.
SUP case.
Yeah, it's the SUP. It's the SUP 01. And this case is really interesting because it's not designed like any other case. And the reason is because you actually mount your graphics card in the front of the case. So this is kind of what the case looks like. It does kind of have that sort of like windowed kind of clean look here. But
if you look at it, it looks just like a pretty standard case, like quick look. And then you realize it's not.
But the front is mesh. So again, you're going to get some airflow. But the thing that makes this really interesting, we'll just go to like the build, and it's kind of hard to see. Let me find if I actually have a better picture of like the installation of the graphics card. So your graphics card actually gets mounted right here in the front of the case, and it acts as an intake, which is kind of interesting, right?
Yeah.
It's really cool. It will fit up to a 4-slot graphics card and a very long graphics card as well. So like a 4090 is going to fit in here, no problem. And it does come with your PCI Express 4.0 riser card. So it is a card, and it does have RGB lighting on the card, you know, and I really like the card. We kind of saw that first with the Height Y60 had the actual card that kind of matched the inside of the case. So this is kind of the same thing. This one does have a little RGB strip on it, which is cool, but that's how you get to be able to mount your graphics card in the front of the case. So completely different design here, which is quite interesting. And you can see how, you know, everything gets connected there.
So I got a question.
Go ahead.
Can you move that GPU like left or right to center it in the front of the case, right? You might have different size GPUs where the fans don't necessarily, you know, does that make sense?
Yes. You see, so like, it's kind of hard to see, Ryan, but there are some screws here that you can
shift it a little.
You can shift it, and you can also move it down. So you can see that you can actually, you can move it down about 4 inches, or not 4 inches, like 2 inches, to make even more room if you had like a insanely long graphics card. So there's a lot of, wiggle room for you to move things around. And there is a brace at the top as well. So it is sturdy. It's not like it's kind of hanging there, you know, especially if you had a heavier graphics card. So that's kind of the big change in this case is that. And because of that, you know, your main section of your case here, it's just going to hold your motherboard, and that's basically it. Everything else is going to be on the other side. Some other things to note here is that this does support full-size ATX motherboards. You can see all of the openings, and it does support motherboards with the back connector. So Asus's BTF, MSI's Project Zero will all fit in this case as well. There is this like mirrored section here that covers, there's actually two 2.5-inch SSD mounts under this, and they covered it up and put a mirror there. But as I'll get into, I don't necessarily see the point of the mirror. The mirror, you know, like here's the mirror, and you can kind of see it at, down there. But I don't necessarily see the point of the mirror. And you, again, you can see the riser card there. Everything gets, you know, over to here. Now, the thing that I found interesting about this is one of the things that we like to show off in a build is our graphics card. And I feel like this case, you're kind of hiding it, right? Yeah. You really only see it if you're looking at the case from the side, you know, and like a lot of, you know, graphics card makers really design their backplates to be shown off, right? And you're really hiding the backplate. All, you know, if you do have RGB lighting or any kind of lighting on the bottom side of the card, that's also kind of just being covered by the mesh, you know. Yep. So if you did, like I said, I have some pictures of, you know, it's just kind of covered.
I mean, I think it looks cool. But you're not seeing the true GPU, right? Especially, yeah, like you said, if there's a really cool designed card.
Yeah, so you're not necessarily seeing that. And then as far as like the opposite side of the case, so like I said, motherboard, graphics cards in the front, you have your motherboard. And then on the opposite side, you know, the back kind of opens up. Down below will be where your power supply goes. And then you have two cooling brackets. So one of these cooling brackets has these three fans all pre-mounted. So that's the only cooling you're going to get in this is these three fans. And then this other larger cooling bracket that will support a 360 millimeter AIO. And again, you have to have it in this orientation. So, I mean, Ryan, you're the water cooling expert here.
Sure.
Like, this is where it's pulling air from is back here. I mean, it's not like it's pulling.
Yeah, you don't have like a front to back or like free flowing air. But I do see you've got some like venting on the back edge, right? That whole backside is perforated, yeah, but you're still not getting like any active air coming in. That's just passive intake that those fans are going to have to utilize.
Yeah. So that's kind of the cooling options. And you can install 360 millimeter AIO. You kind of lift it over. So, you know, the cables come up over and you have a very clean look. And then, you know, for those wondering about the graphics card as well, they have, you know, you use your own cable, but they have like little hooks so you can route it out the back of the case. And installation is very easy. It wasn't all that hard. Everything was easy to get in. Both of these cooling brackets are fully removable. So like when I was installing my radiator, I could take it fully out of the case, no problem. Same with the cooling bracket that has the pre-installed fans. You can fully remove that. Very easy to go ahead and do that. Installation super easy. Of course, you can see our power supply at the bottom, and then you have storage mounts, either 2 3.5-inch drives or 2 2.5-inch drives, plus the other 2.5 in here. So installation is really easy. And even when it comes down to performance, like, It wasn't that hot. I thought this case would actually get pretty hot, but it wasn't all that hot. You know, idle temperature on the CPU was 36 degrees, and it went up to 68, and that's on a 12900K. And then the GPU was 33 degrees, and then under load was 62 degrees. So not that hot. So the performance is pretty good. And you do get some RGB lighting. So there's a strip that goes from like around here that separates sort of the top and bottom of the case, and that lights up. And when it does light up, it actually sort of lights up the side panel too. So you have some nice RGB lighting in there, you know, and it, like I said, it looks quite cool. But like at the end of the day, do I want this type of case? And that's what I was thinking of. And there's a couple of things that kind of stood out to me. Like if you're looking at Li and Li cases, you have O11 Dynamic or O11 Dynamic Mini. You have these cases that are really made to show off your build. And they look kind of similar to this, obviously a little bit different because you have the mesh fronts. And maybe those aren't necessarily the best cooling wise, although you could make them a little bit better cooling wise. But if you look at this case and the way it's designed, the thing that really got to me was like, look at all these wires that you just see. you know, like I said, this mirror is kind of like just there. It doesn't necessarily make a lot of sense. Like this bracket too, like
just showing,
you just see that bracket with the, with, you know, with the window on.
Yeah, you might as well just put a panel there and cover up your GPU, because you can only see the side of it anyways.
Yeah, so it's just like kind of weird. And like, I think with an O11, you know, just like just sticking with Lian Li cases, O11 Dynamic, O11 Dynamic Mini, you know, I think that you have a lot more options. And it's just, you know, but it's and the thing is about this case too, it is kind of nice. It's a 45 liter case, so it is a little bit like, it's not as wide, and it's about as tall as a normal case, but it's not as wide or as long either as a normal case. So it is a little bit different kind of size, but I just thought that, like, for me, it just doesn't, I was excited for this case. And then when I just saw, like, you can see all these wires, and I get it because you want to have room for everything, but for a case that's really made to show everything off, it's just like,
well, and in this instance, like, yeah, the way that riser card has to go, it's not like you could use any of your other card slots anyways, unless you like routed that cable different, and then it, like, you may not have the length. So yeah, it's,
well, that's the thing too. So I didn't mention that the actual motherboard section, it only supports half height cards, so you can only do half height cards that are in there anyways. Yeah. So if you were going to do like a sound card or any other type of card, it has to be half height. It can't be full height either. So for me, it's just not it. I like the idea. And like I said, the cooling was good. I was actually surprised at the cooling. So that's definitely good. But for me, one, I don't want to hide my graphics card at the front of the case. I want it to show off my graphics card. Like, I want it to be either in the case normally, vertically mounted. I want to show off my graphics card. Secondly, there's just too much being like, if again, this is cases designed with a big side window to show off your build, and it's kind of a mess. If I look at my finished build, let me go to this page. I looked at my finished build, and I'm just like, it's kind of just like a mess for me. You know what I mean? Like,
I think what this case will do though is like, okay, we've done something different, right? And maybe this will inspire other companies, or Lian Li will make some revisions, right? And this can maybe start a trend of figuring out how to do it in a manner that actually looks better.
Yeah, I think instead of this mirror that's here, you could just make the cover here and cover like a lot more or something. Yep. Just make it cleaner. I think that was the thing. And then I don't know. This is just my preference, but to me, it just looks, I don't know. You know, like I said, and again, you can't see through the other whole side too, because the back side panel is mesh too. So
just about to ask, that whole back side is mesh, huh?
Yeah. And if you don't have like a 4-slot graphics card, you're going to see through all of that. So, you know, so like I said, it's a cool concept, and it's a proof of concept because it works cooling wise, but I gave it an 8 out of 10. It is, how much is it? $149.99, I believe.
Yeah.
$149.99. So yeah, like I said, sort of a mess, hides a graphics card. And again, your AIO installation, I talked to you about this, Ryan, when I was doing my installation, was like, you need to install, if you're doing an AIO, you need to have an AIO where you can bend turn the tubing from that's coming from the radiator, because that top section, you need to be able to kind of angle those a different way.
The Lian Li cooler that you used has fittings on the radiator that swivel, and that's kind of almost what you need with this. You could probably do it with another AIO, but you may end up kinking those hoses as they come out the radiator and go over the motherboard tray to get to the CPU.
Yeah. So it's an interesting design. But if I'm spending $150, I'm getting a low O11 Dynamic Mini. And again, the downside to getting the mini is that you're stuck with SFX power supply. This supports full size. This one comes with 3 fans. All the O11s don't come with any fans. So stuff to consider. But for me, it just wasn't what I thought it would be. I thought it, you know. But yeah. So check out the review if you are interested in the chat. We have Tyler's Tech Service. We're doing good this evening. It's it's Computex time, which means there's always interesting stuff. I always there like...
I don't want to get ahead of us. I'll look real quick.
Okay.
All right, good. We do that.
Yeah, so we'll move from there to Case on Friday and talking about an O11 dynamic. It kind of goes right into it. Is that this week we have a build from Liquid House and it's done in the O11 dynamic vision. That's the newer case. And Liquid House is known for these kind of crazy lines with their tubing, and they kind of mix, like they pretty much have all types of tubing. They have your normal tubing, they have hard tubing, and then they have, what would you even call these? Because this is a newer thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a modification of like what we've seen in like a distribution block, right? But they're using it in place of your standard tubing, which I think it looks awesome. I love.
And like, if you think about this, you have this is a like braided tubing. Then you have like glass or acrylic hard line tubing. Then you have like normal like hard line tubing here. But then you have this acrylic. It's like every different kind is in this.
And like the fittings, even like some of them are polished, some of them are satin.
Yeah, like if you go back, like these ones all are polished, and then these ones are not. These ones are not.
Right. Yeah. It's a mix. It's a wild mix, but it looks good. It doesn't look like haphazardly put together. It just it looks great. I love this build.
Yeah. Like, so
it looks really cool.
Yeah, and they did this for what's that guy's name? Nacho. Nacho Customs, who's like an artist who makes custom mice and some other stuff, but yeah, it's just done so well. And it's like you wouldn't think it works, and then you look at it and then it does work. Really cool colors too. This like really, really dark blue, and then you have like this sort of darker pink, I guess.
Almost a magenta, but
yeah.
Right. Yeah. And the fan, like the fan lighting, how they've got them split, like half of the fan is purple, that purple, half of it's blue, which is something awesome you can do with these fans. You've got the one with the screen on the back.
Yeah.
That showing one. The Lee and Lee logo there. So, yeah. And I really like the vision version of this case, like with that glass top. It's, I love it. I think it's really cool.
Yeah. Really, really cool. So you have one radiator here. One radiator at the bottom. Yeah, this is just really, really well done. And like I said, it's like such a mess. And like this is like a distro panel, Ryan, that's like made of metal in the middle.
Yeah, I was trying to get a better look at it. It's tough because there's so much going on, right?
Yeah.
In this. But yeah, I think that's just like a, you know, kind of an organization panel that ties all of those fittings together. And brings it all together there.
Super cool. Super, super cool. So shout out to Liquid House on this one. Another awesome build. And they just released another awesome build that I just saw too. They're doing some really cool stuff. So definitely go ahead and check this one out for sure. And then real quick, we are running our Crucial Pro Overclocking Edition DDR5 memory giveaway. 5 days left. So get your entry in on this.
Get in there.
Yeah, get your entry in on this. Super easy to do. If you're wondering, like, how do I get to the contest? You go to the website, you click on contests, and it's the first one. And then you fill out the form. Really easy to do. And I'm going to tell you guys again, because it seems that this happens a lot, because the last two giveaways, it happened. You have to be subscribed to the newsletter to qualify. So you have to subscribe initially, and then
stay subscribed.
You have to stay subscribed. So people unsubscribe, and then when we pick the winner, we validate that you're subscribed to the email newsletter. So if you're not, you're made not a winner. So make sure you do that. But again, we just want to get back to you guys And yeah, so definitely get in on this this contest. Some awesome DDR5 from them. And it's non-RGB. I know a lot of you guys are purists out there. You just don't want to admit it. So if you're purists out there, there's no RGB on this. So
but if you do like RGB and you win it, it's a nice white color and it'll still help kind of, you know,
reflect. Yeah, yeah, get some little, you know, the RGB reflects off the white a little bit better, I'd say, than a black. So we'll move to Computex. Computex is going on right now. So I would say next week we'll have another Computex wrap up probably of everything. There's so much, and I've been trying to cover all of it and getting, you know, trying to really pick the good stuff, the stuff that I think you guys should know about. So we'll start with AMD. AMD had a keynote. They announced a bunch of different things, but for us, there were two big processor announcements. First, of course, and we had talked about it previously, Ryzen 9000 series. So we're going to get new desktop processors from AMD, and it's going to be, of course, the Ryzen 9000 series. This is based on Zen 5 microarchitecture. You know, they are claiming a 16% IPC increase thanks to a bunch of different things. You can kind of go through it all. I'm sure you guys just want to know, you know, this is kind of what they're showing, you know, compared to previous Gen 4. I know you guys just want to know, what are the SKUs? Like, what are the parts? What are the, you know? So four parts initially. You're going to get a Ryzen 9 9950X. That's going to be 16 core, 32 thread. It's going to boost up to 5.7 gigahertz, 8 megabytes of cache, and 180. And, or, yeah, what did I say? Eight. Yes, it's got to get this more than threads, that. But eight makes a cache, and 170 watts TDP. And you're also going to get a Ryzen 9 9900X that's going to move down to 12 core, 24 thread. That's going to boost up to 5.6 gigahertz, 76 megabytes of cache, and 120 watt TDP. Then you have the Ryzen 7 9700X. That's 8 core, 16 thread, 5.5 gigahertz boost, 40 megabytes of cache, and a 65 watt TDP. And the Ryzen 5 9600X, which would be the gold standard for a lot of people because it would be affordable, and you're still getting 6 cores, 12 threads, 5.4 gigahertz max boost, 38 megabytes of cache, and again, that 65 watt TDP. Coming in July. So new processors, which means new motherboards. We haven't covered like any of the new motherboards that are at Computex yet. So stay tuned next week for that. I'm surprised
because you're a big motherboard guy.
I know. There's just been so much and I've been trying to pick the cool stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, July 2024. No word on pricing or anything like that. You know, and then they showed again, as we always say, take these with a grain of salt. Take, you know, this is their results and this is what they want you to see. But compared to a Core i9-14900K against the top end 9950X, they're showing in, you know, content creation and productivity anywhere from 7% better to 56% better, depending on what you're doing. And then, of course, where everybody wants to know about gaming, they're showing anywhere from 4% to 23% better in gaming against Intel's top chip. Well, I guess not their top chip because they have the KS still. Wait, is the KS out? Yeah, the KS is out. Nobody really cared about the KS, I feel, because it's
so extreme.
Yeah. But yeah, so that is the new Ryzen 9000 series. And again, it's kind of what you expect. I think the big thing, obviously, I'm excited for motherboards. And again, we'll talk about that next week, I feel. You know, and some of the things for the motherboards that they did highlight as well, you're going to get USB 4 standard on all motherboards. So, you know, a lot of times...
On all X series motherboards.
Yeah, 870 and 870 and X870E motherboards. Gen 5 on graphics and NVMe on both, which is a change from the X, I can't think of the X670.
Correct.
X670 and X670E, you either got one or the other. Now you're getting both on the X870 and X870E. And then you're going to get higher AMD Expo clock support as well. So, of course, higher clocked memory will work with this as well when it comes to DDR5. So that's really cool to see.
Yeah, I like that you don't have to, like, compromise with this, right? You're like, well, I can get one or the other, like, especially on that Gen 5, right?
Yeah.
Connectivity. So that, I think, is really nice with this.
Yeah, and again, these new chips will work with any Ryzen 7000 or any Ryzen any AM5 motherboard with BIOS updates, and older Ryzen 7000 and 8000 series chips will work on these new motherboards, on the X870 and X870E motherboards as well. So lots of support back and forth on this. So yeah, I mean, I like it. I mean, it's kind of, like I said, it's kind of what you expect. You're not expecting like anything insane, because that typically doesn't happen when it comes to CPUs. But it is good that we're gonna get new chips, kind of new, you know, and then you're gonna get new motherboards. And I think that's what's kind of exciting, is you're gonna see a lot more, like we just talked about USB 4. That's gonna become more mainstream. We're gonna see a lot more other connectivity things. And new motherboard designs. I'm definitely excited for that as well. So that was kind of their real big announcement.
Well, and obviously we'll see like more parts down the line, right? These are just the initial four available in July, because we're, you know, at some point we're going to get those Ryzen 5, you know, more Ryzen 5 parts, more 7. At some point, hopefully, right, we expect like an X3D part. But for now,
yeah, that will probably come later.
These are, yeah, exciting.
Yeah, so old man's in the chat. Good to see you here. Yeah, we're just getting into the news. We're just starting off, so definitely stick with us, and we'll be going through. Like I said, I try to pick out the coolest things that I saw from Computex. Also on the AMD front, Ryzen 5000. You have a Ryzen 5000 series part.
Correct, 5800X 3D.
But what'd you have before that?
3800X.
Okay. So Ryzen 5000 series. That came out in 2020. It is 2024, and we're going to get new Ryzen 5000 parts. So kind of interesting that AMD is releasing two new Ryzen 5000 series parts. They're calling this the Ryzen 5000 XT series, but it's two parts. I wouldn't necessarily call it a series. And I don't even know if you would call it a refresh, because it's, again, just two parts. So you have a Ryzen 9 5900 XT, 16 core, 32 thread, which is kind of interesting, because the original Ryzen 9 5900X was 12 core, 24 thread, and the 5950X, that was the... 16 core 32 thread part. Yeah. So this isn't net, like, if you think about it, this wouldn't necessarily be a refresh of the 5900X, but it sits between the 5900X and the 5950X. So it boosts up to 4.8 gigahertz. That's 100 megahertz slower than the 5950X, and it has the same 105 watt TDP, but of course lower price point at around $360. So you'll have the 5900X, which is still selling great. Then you're going to have a 5900XT, which bumps up your core counts, but it's not clocked as high as the 5950X, and you'll still have the 5950X.
Yep.
So
I think it slots in well.
Yeah, and they're kind of putting that against a more current gen Intel Core i7 13700K, and it's kind of basically on par with that when it comes to gaming performance, from what AMD is showing. And then they also announced a Ryzen 7 5800XT, 8 core, 16 thread. That's exactly the same as the previous Ryzen 7 5800X. It's going to have 100 megahertz boost, which is like, that's essentially a refresh. Same 105 watt TDP. It's going to be around $260. I actually really like this. I think that the Ryzen AM4, and again, AM4 is 8 years old, the socket,
which is wild to me, but
you know, and we're still getting new parts, but I like it because it kind of breathes new life. And it just shows that that platform is still incredibly viable, especially like I'm running that platform now as my main system. I have a 5950X, but you know, a lot of people don't want to spend the money on a newer chip. And again, the newer chips on either side, on AMD and on Intel, one means more expensive motherboards. So all the motherboards are more expensive. You have to get DDR5 for the most part. So DDR5 is more expensive. And then with the newer chips, especially the latest generations, you have to worry about heat a lot more than you ever did before. So you need at least a 360 millimeter AIO, if not more than that, right? Yep. So a lot of people don't want to deal with that. They just want a good, maybe simple gaming machine. You know, you can play great games on an AMD or an Intel system with DDR4. So I like this. I think it makes sense. It allows them to kind of broaden out that 5000 series line and give people, you know, you're kind of filling more spots, which if you listen to this podcast, I'm not necessarily a fan of having a price point at every like $50, mm-hmm. but I like this for what it is. I don't know what you think about it.
Yeah, no, I think it's great. Yeah, your price points are nice. These both come with the AMD Wraith RGB cooler as well, so you're getting a cooler with it. I think that $260 price point's really nice for that 5800 XT. Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, I mean 8-core 16-thread, that's gonna do a lot. And again, you can find, you know, AM4 motherboards relatively cheap, brand new. You find some great DDR4 and you're good to go. And again, the platform is so mature that you don't really have to worry about like memory issues or any of the issues that you might find on these newer platforms still. So I definitely like it. So that was kind of the AMD kind of what I thought what was kind of the big thing. Of course, NVIDIA was there, and they talked a lot about AI, but for the gamer, what are we going to do AI? What's AI going to do for the gamer? So they announced their new Project G Assist. They announced a bunch of stuff, but this Project G Assist is AI that's going to run on your machine. And I guess when you're in game, it will analyze what you're doing and it will say, you know, this is how you defeat this boss in this game, or this, you know, it will help you in. Not only you don't have to type it in too, like you can just ask it, you can set it to do that. And you also don't like necessarily have to have this screen up. It can talk back to you.
Right.
You know, I guess that's cool. I mean, I don't know.
That's like, I don't know. It's a little cheaty, or like, I mean, it's no different than like looking up a guide, I guess, online. It's just able to provide you advice. What sounds like at any point in a game, right? You get stuck on a puzzle or a like, where do I go next in this, you know, almost free open world? And you're like, I can't seem to figure out where to go. And it can look around and maybe kind of tell you where that's at, which is kind of cool. You said like, you know, tell you how to beat a boss. It made me think of WoW, right? Again, and like when new releases come out and everybody's trying to like be that world first for the raid bosses, if you've got this running there and it like watches the first fight or whatever and is like, oh, okay, I know how to beat this, like here's your raid strategy, like how is that gonna play into those types of things?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting, and see what they do with it. That was kind of like the gamer thing from NVIDIA. They also, so Windows Copilot, which we've talked about, you can now add GPU acceleration if you have NVIDIA GPU for better performance on that as well. That was kind of the other announcement when it comes to AI stuff. AI everything, right? I think that's kind of the thing there. We have old peeps in the chat, and he says, as a system builder and hardware specialist, this is great for new gen and others wanting to just upgrade their board. Lots of loss though to upgrade an 8-year-old board with a new CPU. Stuck with third gen NVMe and DDR4, but if you need to budget, it's a smart move for AMD. Yeah, I think that's the thing, is like it's a smart upgrade. If you don't necessarily have a lot of money, you're kind of strapped for cash. And again, you don't want to upgrade to these new platforms because these new platforms require just so much more. Like I said, DDR5, and then like the temperature constraints of a lot of these newer systems too. So like I said, I like it. I think it is a smart move from AMD.
And for a lot of people, like even being on a third gen NVMe, like they may not even be able to tell in a lot of cases. Yeah. Right. We like to talk about those big numbers from drives and the additional generations, Gen 4, Gen 5 storage. But a lot of those folks, especially if they're looking to make a budget move like that, probably aren't one of those users that's going to see that difference anyhow. So
yeah. NVIDIA also kind of released a new standard that they're going to have for graphics cards, which I like.
Yeah.
You were considering doing a smaller form factor build. I've done smaller form factor builds in the past. And the biggest thing that you worry about is, will this graphics card fit in this case? I know it kind of does say, but like, does it actually, you know? And we have run into some things where like, it says the graphics card this long, but then like it's off and it's not right. And then you have this, you see this pictures on Reddit where like the graphics card doesn't fit in the case.
Sticks out the side. I can't close my panel now.
Yeah. So for small form factor builds, NVIDIA announced SFF ready enthusiast GeForce card guidelines. And these are guidelines that have specific size for small form factor cards. And this SFF ready will be placed on the box, so you'll know that this card is SFF ready. And they will have a full list of not only SFF cards, so they already have like a running list, but they're also going to have a list of cases that are compatible with this specific size. So now you can go to NVIDIA's website and you can, you know, be like, okay, I want to get an NVIDIA SFF card, you know, I'm building something small. Here are the cases that will support that. And I really like that, right? Yeah. That will support this smaller card. So yeah, I think it's good. I think smaller form factor is getting more and more popular, and having these running lists from NVIDIA. And again, because it's NVIDIA, if the manufacturer wants that on the box, they're going to make a card that size. So yeah. Some companies don't make cards that size. Maybe they don't want to, but now if they want the sticker or they want the emblem on the box, they're going to have to make the card that size. So
when was the last time we even had like mini size cards? I know I had a GTX 970 mini
that we've personally had.
Well, just like we in general, right?
I mean, like when was 40, the 4060s, they all made small ones.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
And we've seen some other small.
They really don't. They don't feel that small to me anymore. Like the 970 minis, small.
Yeah, I mean, I had that Gigabyte 4060. I put it in my pocket.
Oh, that's yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah. So that was super tiny.
That's true.
It kind of, you know, I think the thing that a lot of graphics
card companies, at least have a standard.
Yeah, well, I think the thing that a lot of graphics card companies are doing is like people. Gamers want the look, so they're making, even though the card doesn't need to be that big or doesn't need to have that much cooling, they're putting the triple slot cooler, like when
hands and yeah.
When Galax made a Hall of Fame 4060, like you don't need a Hall of Fame 4060, you just don't. No. You know what I mean? But they made one. Yeah. Because that's what, you know, people in that, I guess it's still going to be like $100 more than the normal.
Yeah, you're paying for that cooler and plastic shroud and
yeah, the little overclock that you're gonna get on the 4060. Yeah, but yeah, I like having a standard, and I like the idea for the builder to be able to reference that and be like, yeah, this is definitely gonna fit. And like you said, maybe it will open up more higher end SFF ready cards. Like, you know, we see maybe we'll see some 4080s. I couldn't imagine a 4090 that would fit that spec, but a 4080, a 4080 super that is in that smaller form factor would be kind of nice. So yeah, I definitely like that. But that brings us right into graphics cards. So there are two main graphics card things that I wanted to talk about. The first one is from MSI. So you remember the expert card that we saw at CES, really cool with the all aluminum shroud and look kind of futuristic. They were showing it as a 4080 super at CES. They made a new one. And this one,
I don't think I saw this article.
This one features an all-in-one liquid cooling system. So it is an all-in-one enclosed closed-loop cooling system. So the card itself looks like a three-slot, okay, two-slot card. But under the hood, it has a radiator, the fan, you know, and a smaller cooling system. We've seen stuff like this from the past from Asus.
Yep.
So it's really cool to see it from MSI. They did this in collaboration with Cooler Master. I really like this. It'd be interesting to see how, like, the performance, I guess, on this. But this is super cool to me.
Yeah, I've never really liked the water-cooled cards from the factory. I just don't like the look of the, the tubing coming out of the card and going to a radiator. Not that I'm opposed to liquid-cooled GPUs. I have one myself, but I just wasn't a fan of the factory liquid-cooled ones. Now this, pretty sweet.
Yeah, I really like this because again, all of those kind of the Asus Matrix looks really cool, but a lot of these, like you said, they're just kind of big and bulky, and this looks like a normal graphics card. You wouldn't even know there's an AIO in there for the most part,
right?
So super cool
they kept that design language too with that,
yeah,
because it looks great.
Yeah, and it looks really, really awesome. So really cool to see that from MSI. And then Palette, who we typically don't talk about because they don't release products in the United States, they did show a really, I think this is super cool, especially if you're vertically mounting your graphics card. And we did talk about how we don't like the look of graphics cards that have the AIO, you know, the radiator that comes out. This is one of those, but it has some saving grace because it has seven-inch screen on it.
I'm surprised we haven't seen this sooner with as many GPUs are mounted vertically. That's a great flat space. You know, last week we were talking about the motherboard with the flat memory going in, and I was like, at some point we'll get a screen on it. Well, now we got this screen here.
Yeah, so this is a monstrosity of a card. Now this is a 4090, so it has to be a little bit bigger. So this is a 4090, first graphics card with a 7-inch screen on it, which is really cool because you can do so much with that much real estate. It's not just like a little display that you can put stats or a GIF or something like that. I mean, this is like a full-on screen.
Can you zoom? Do we have any closer pictures of those fittings?
Not really.
Oh, Der Bauer.
Yeah, he has a video on it. The video's on the page.
It reminds the size of the tubing and those fittings almost reminded me of Heights cooler.
Oh, okay.
A bit. So I was just curious if any of that translated over or anything.
I'm not sure, but yeah, I this is a big card, as you can see. I mean, it's quite big, but I like the idea of it, especially if you're running a 4090. You're only running one graphics card. And having a big screen like that means that you can put anything on it.
Old man's asking if the screen is facing downwards. Technically, yes, but in a vertically mounted GPU, it would be facing out towards.
Yeah, so if you're mounting it, if you're vertically mounting it, it would essentially look like this, right, like how it is here, like in a system. So
yeah, that's the only way it would make sense is to have that.
Yeah, vertical. Yeah. So that's the reason, because if you put this normally in a case, it's gonna look real dumb. it's gonna look kind of like this, like you couldn't see it, but. But yeah, I think this is really cool. I would imagine this is super expensive. One, it's a 4090. Yeah. Two, it has a 7-inch screen. Three, it has a 360 millimeter AIO attached to it. Is there pricing? I don't think we have pricing on this.
I'll have to watch this video.
Yeah, it's a concept design. So okay. It probably might not ever even come out. But super cool to me. I like it. Maybe, like I said, we keep on getting more screens. We're getting bigger screens on AIOs. You know, maybe, like I said, screens are the next thing on GPUs. It could be the next, the like actual real screens, not like the little, you know, the little display that you can put a GIF on. So that'd be really cool. Moving on from there, we talked about it last week. Typically, Computex is where we see the new Inwin Signature chassis. That's their typically limited edition chassis that are incredibly expensive, but typically super cool and just unique. This year, they showed off their 11th signature chassis, and it is called Infinite. And it is...
it's underwhelming. That's what I'm going to say.
Yeah, so this is the chassis. It has this massive piece of glass that's curved. From what I read, everybody who's seen it in person, they say that it's the biggest piece of curved glass that they've ever seen on a case, which is really cool. And then your system is in this aluminum sort of holding place here. You can see your power supplies here, your graphics cards here, motherboards over there. This one's liquid cooled. There's fans down here, which this is essentially is the front, which I'll show you. But the interesting thing about this is that this base has a motor in it. So the system can sit like this, and then you hit the motor. So here's the system like up. You would hit the motor and the system kind of goes like that. So it can go up and it can go, you know, like that. Kind of underwhelming.
Yeah, it reminds me, like we've seen, we always call it like Cougar has that case, and I forget who else, right? That are like almost look like a sport bike. And then the base kind of reminds me of like the Cooler Master shoe case. And it's just, I don't know.
It's interesting, don't think,
but I'm not. Eh.
I don't think like the turning of this for section of
it isn't impressive enough to me.
Yeah, and like the glass stays where it's at. The glass doesn't move. You know? So it's like, I don't know. But yeah, you have room for 360 millimeter AIO here or three fans, and then some fans up here, two and a half inch drives here.
Look at the power and whatever other cables hanging out the front. It's like we couldn't have figured out a way to route that somewhere different. So now inside this like really nice piece of glass, you just got your power cable hanging down and something. I don't know. I know they can do better because we've seen them do better things.
Yeah. Yeah, so not, yeah. And again, this is probably going to be made in limited quantities. It's probably going to be, what do you think prices on this?
Couple grand.
That's crazy. I mean,
couple
grand is crazy for this. But I guess you're paying, this base has to be super heavy, right?
Right, to support that, the weight, yeah, and that, then that glass, to support that glass.
And to have the motor inside, too, to move it.
Right.
Without it being all jerky or anything like that. So, yeah, I was really excited when we talked about last week.
I was too, yep.
Yeah, and now I'm kind of like, oh, well, yeah.
We'll see. So, what's there next year?
Yeah, we'll see if they come up with something else, or maybe there's something we missed. Again, I'm just going off
stuff
that I've read, so maybe there's something that we missed about it that makes it crazy. But that was the one case. Also, interesting, some newer cases from Thermaltake. Of course, all CES, one of my favorite cases I saw was their Tower 200. That was the one that, you know, the Tower series was like, looked like a tower. The Tower 200 added the two angles on the front and just changed the whole dynamic of the entire case. Now Thermaltake has a Tower 600, which is larger. That's going to support, you know, full size systems. So you have, this is going to support ATX. That's a Tower 600. And then they made a Tower 250, you know, which is mini ITX as well. Cool. So the Tower 300 was at CS. I'm sorry. I believe the Tower 300 was micro ATX. The Tower 250 will be mini or micro IT or mini ITX. There's everything's changing and it's all. The interesting thing about the 600, though, it will support the back connect motherboards as well. So again, Asus BTF. And again, this is a system where like you would kind of want something like that too, where you can hide a lot of those cables, especially for your graphics card. When it comes to Asus BTF. So
this is a really neat case. Like sometimes I'm not a big fan of Thermaltake's cases, but I really enjoyed seeing this at CES. I think it's got a lot of potential. I like that side mounting, like you're showing there, how it can be sat on its side and at an angle. It's just really cool. I really like this.
The 600, lots of support for graphics cards, cooling and everything. So, and then the 250 mini ITX, a lot of people wanted that because the original Tower 200 was the one that didn't have the angles. And then the Tower 300, they made that micro ATX. And a lot of people were like, change the 200 to the angles. Cause we like just the angle just changes the whole dynamic of the case. So nice to see those from Thermaltake. It just makes sense. I think everybody was kind of expecting them to kind of do that. So old man in the chat says, did you see the Fantex Evolve X2? I really like it. No, I haven't. I'll probably cover it this week. There was some like Be Quiet had new cases. I saw a bunch of stuff. I just haven't had time to get all the articles up and do everything for those.
Oh, but like I said, that. Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
Yeah, so we'll probably cover that next week. I have a lot of stuff, a lot of motherboards again that I haven't even gone over yet at all. On to cooling, Noctua. What does Noctua do, Ryan?
They make brown and tan fans.
And then CPU
coolers. And they make CPU coolers and other
things. What kind of CPU coolers?
Big tower heat sinks.
Air coolers, right?
Yeah.
So at Computex, they were showing this. And what is that, Ryan?
That looks like a all-in-one liquid cooler to me.
Yeah, so they had this really...
It looks a little rough.
Yeah, they had this really interesting prototype liquid cooler at Computex. And the interesting thing about this cooler is that there's no pump. So this cooler is going to make use of two-phase thermosiphon technology, which is sort of explained here and how it works. I don't know anything about this technology. It is explained here how it would work.
I think it just takes advantage of like the expansion, right? When it heats up, the liquid like expands, and then when it cools down, it condenses. And so you've got this like push-pull type of suction and you know what I mean? Like the difference between the expanded hot liquid and the condensed cool liquid helps with that flow.
Yeah. So this is kind of how it would work. And again, they were just showing this prototype of it. It seems like it makes sense, but I would love to see actual performance numbers and things like that. The only caveat to this, if you were to use something like this, or if Noctua would come out with something like this, is that you would have to have the radiator and fans on the top of your case, which is most cases, that's what you're doing. But if you did get a case like just like that Li and Li case or some other cases, or you wanted to mount this, like side mounts are getting extremely popular, you know, like a lot of cases don't have the top mounts, so you have to have a top mount for this to work.
With that condensation cooling, right? Like if it's flat, how does that like... I don't know. They've obviously got it working, right? They've spent enough time to feel comfortable showing it. So
yeah. So total prototype, maybe you'll see this next year. None of that. It's just, this is a prototype. We're showing it. That's basically it. Kind of interesting though. And like I said, it could shake up the AIO market. I mean, Noctua is the kind of one of the gold standards when it comes to air cooling.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, it'd be interesting to see, but pretty interesting. But again, it could be nothing. And if you know anything about Noctua's development time, I mean, we saw that fanless cooler for like 5 years, 4 years before it finally came out.
Yeah, so they're going to tweak it till it's perfect.
Yeah. So. Yeah. So who knows with this, but pretty interesting to see from Noctua of all people. So, so yeah, pretty cool. Also on the cooling fronts. Now, when we were at CES, MSI had a M.2 SSD cooler that had a closed loop liquid cooler on it. It was essentially like a mini AIO. Remember seeing that?
It was tiny. Oh yeah.
Yeah, cool. So they have a different cooler for M.2 drives now. It uses a vapor chamber, and it's unclear if it was going to be clear like this or not. Like I couldn't find much information. I don't know if it was just clear to show what it's doing, right? The rest of it would be metal. I don't know. But this uses vapor chamber technology to keep your M.2 SSD cool. Obviously, a lot smaller. One, a lot smaller than that AIO thing that we saw, which was like,
tall,
like this big. And then also much cooler than like their Gen 5 SSD heatsink thing. Like about the same size. I mean, it's, you know, this is like, this thing's probably about this big. So pretty interesting to see. They say it lowers the operating temperature by 11 degrees. I think it's pretty cool.
I'm always up for new cooling methods.
Yeah. So pretty interesting on that from MSI.
I think it looks cool if that's the final look we're going to get.
Yeah, that's what I was like. I wasn't sure because typically for a vapor chamber, you wouldn't use like acrylic or whatever that is. You would want to use some type of metal. But I don't, obviously we're not at Computex, so I don't know. Now we have gaming handhelds.
And yes, multiple.
It seems like everybody's making them. First, MSI has their Claw 8 AI. So the MSI Claw just came out, or the Claw 8 AI Plus. And this was actually leaked before Computex. I haven't seen any pictures of the actual unit. This is just the render that we saw, which obviously is Fallout theme, which we'll get into. This will be based on a new Intel Lunar Lake Core Ultra processor. I assume this Core Ultra processor will support AI functions. That's why they're calling this AI Plus. I would only assume that's why they're calling this, because AMD is coming out with their AI chip towards the end of the year too. So I would assume the Intel Lunar Lake Core Ultra processor will support some type of AI function. And that's, you know, this is going to be an eight inch. Well, it says 8 inch, and then it also says 7 inch in the same translated thing. So we're not actually sure if it's an 8 inch or 7 inch. Will support Thunderbolt. And they've teamed up with Fallout or Bethesda to create a Fallout version of the handheld. Which if you're a Fallout fan, I think that's awesome. And it kind of makes sense because we don't have a new Fallout game, but we have Fallout on Amazon Prime, which you should go watch if you haven't.
I know, I need to finish that.
Yeah, it's good. It's real good.
And they've got the Pip-Boy right on their wrist. So this is the handheld version of it.
Yeah, so I think that's really cool. So
I think it's an odd choice to use like the purple and blue lights on the joysticks. Like make it a green light or something on this.
I think you can just make this any color, I believe.
Oh, I know. But like that's exactly. You can make it any color. So why choose purple on your picture of the Fallout one?
Yeah, it should be like yellow or orange.
Yeah.
Yeah. So so pretty interesting. You know what I hate though? And I post when we originally posted this last week, I said, the rest of this year and next year, every product that comes out is going to have AI in the product name. It's going to be AI this, AI that, AI this. And we're already seeing it with a lot of Computex stuff. So not a fan of that. So that was the first gaming handheld. The next one, we already saw Antec come out with a gaming handheld as well. Zotac is coming out with one, which makes more sense than Antec.
I don't think either one makes sense.
Because Zotac does, they have a big mini PC market. They have a ton of mini PCs. So this is their Zone gaming handheld. So that's what they're calling this one.
Oh, Zotac makes sense. I was thinking Zalman. Yes, Zotac does.
No, Zalman would make no sense.
Yes.
So this, like I said, this is their Zone, and it's going to have a Ryzen 7 8840U Hawkpoint APU, 16 gigabytes of LDDR5X, 512 gigabytes Gen 4 NVMe SSD, and a 7-inch AMOLED screen, 120 hertz refresh rate on that. The interesting thing about this is that people are saying the screen that they're using is actually a portrait orientation screen, and that while it may not cause any issues, there have been instances where a screen like that, like your game would show the in portrait mode, not in
it doesn't look right. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what people are saying. And this
so
is not big.
So it's like it's a native portrait screen that they're using in landscape mode.
Yes. Yes.
I can see that because the way your pixels are laid out in, on your screen can have an effect. And yeah, that'd be really odd though, if it like
displayed. Yeah. Yeah, so they said it could only happen in a handful of games, but it's a possibility. Also, this thing's big. This thing's really big. It's bigger than the Steam Deck, bigger than the ROG Ally, so it's a much larger as well. But everybody's making them. So no variable refresh rate on the screen as well.
That kind of stinks. I do like how on the back there, the ventilation was not anywhere that's necessarily under your hands. Yeah. On some of the others, like especially the MSI before this, that ventilation is even behind your fingers on the back, which like if you're covering up those ventilation holes, it's probably not doing a good enough job. Whereas this is like it's in the middle and supposedly all you need for it. So
yeah. So the issue that I have with this, and I think a lot of people will, one, it's larger. Two is that it's going to be $800, by the time some of the other ones come out, they're going to be faster. They're using a faster APU. I would expect this price to change if they want to be competitive. You know what I mean? So that's the Zotac one. And then we have one more from another company that you wonder why they're making a gaming handheld, but this one actually has some pretty interesting tech in it, and it's designed a little bit differently. So this is from ADATA XPG, which is their gaming brand. And this is their XPG Nia. And the first thing you notice is that the screen kind of moves, which is pretty interesting.
It's like some of those old cell phones with the screen that like slides up and reveals the keyboard.
Yeah. No revealing keyboard here.
Okay.
But the screen does rotate, and you'll notice there's a camera on here. And the reason that you get the camera on here is that this gaming handheld is going to make use of what's called, where is it? I wrote this article too. Dynamic fov. I can't even read. What is this? The fov.
it's too small.
Rendering. Basically, what this rendering is it takes advantage of how the human eye works.
Foveated. Yeah.
Foveated rendering. Basically, like I said, it takes advantage of how the human eye works, is that when we're looking at stuff, we can only see in detail in our peripheral, like what, you know, or like in what we're looking at. Everything over here on the sides, it's blurry. We can't tell. So what this does is that with the camera, it will use eye tracking and it will see where you're looking on this screen. Because of that, what it can do is it can render where you're looking in a higher resolution, and the things that you're not looking at, it renders in a lower resolution.
And I feel like we saw this technology like a couple years ago in something.
They do use this a lot in AR and VR applications.
Okay.
So that's kind of cool. And if you think about it, this would cut, you know, these gaming handhelds, like they're like crushing whatever APU they're using. I mean, we're kind of pushing these things a lot. So this is, you would think that this would, you know, you're rendering part of the screen at a lower resolution, and, you know, maybe even like you're rendering the sides or whatever, you're not looking at it like 480p, and then you're rendering the rest at a 1080p. You know what I mean? Kind of interesting to see how it would work and everything like that. 7-inch screen on this. It is going to use AMD, at least in its current state, it's using an AMD Phoenix APU. So that same Ryzen 7 8840U or the Ryzen Z1 Extreme that's in the ROG Ally. The interesting thing about this is going to make use of that new Cam2 memory. That's a memory that we saw that's, you know, that screws onto the motherboard, Ryan, that we had saw before. That's upgradable. Also, it has an M.2 2230 slot that's also upgradable. You can also fully remove the motherboard from this case. And ADATA was saying that they'll provide 3D print files where you could print your own case for this to turn it into its own little mini PC. You could turn it into a file server. Kind of interesting. I don't necessarily know that there's a market for that per se.
Yeah.
You know, and here's what the back looks like. You can see the fans and the cooling, and this is the section that opens up for that Cam2 memory and the M.2 slot that you can upgrade. It's all user upgradable. So I like that because a lot of these aren't necessarily user upgradable. So that's pretty cool just to see that. They're targeting a sub $600 price range on this one. But this is just a prototype. The APU will likely change by the time they bring this to market. They said early 2025. So it's either going to be the latest Intel one or the latest, probably the AMD AI 300 chip that's coming out. So, or 300 AI or AI 300. I'm not sure how you say it, but we'll probably see this at CES. We could take a spin on it at CES and see if that eye tracking is pretty interesting, but you wonder how it how well it actually works.
It's gotta be so fast. Cause like, just think of how like fast your eyes look around a screen.
Yeah. But I mean, maybe it works. Maybe, yeah. I don't know. So that's the gaming handhelds. That's what I thought was interesting when it came to the gaming handhelds. There's a ton more to talk about. Like I said, we will do another full rest of Computex, you know, next week as far as on the podcast. Definitely stay on this. Like I said, just keep updated on the site. We do have, I talked about it last week, but we added the Computex 2024 tab at the top. So you just hit that, and that will bring up all of our Computex articles. So lots of stuff to still cover. And we're posting every day about Computex and just trying to pick out the good stuff that you guys kind of want. So I think that was, like I said, lots of interesting stuff. I'm surprised that a lot of companies too, like sometimes you think, oh, but it's just going to be like kind of what we saw at CES, you know, but we're seeing a lot of really cool stuff, which I kind of like. Yeah. So yeah, good to see that. Coming next week, as far as reviews go, I have this keyboard right here, which is the Asus ROG Azoth. Pretty cool keyboard. This is their mechanical gaming keyboard. Of course, ROG, you might not necessarily know for gaming keyboards per se, but this one's pretty cool. It has some really interesting features, and they really made this like, they tried to make this, I would say, like part of the custom keyboard. Has hot swappable design, but it also has like a lubing station that you can use to like lube the switches and some other stuff that comes with this. It makes it kind of interesting, but overall, so far I've been using it. It's really comfortable and I really like it so far. So I will have that for you guys. And then we were just talking about M.2 2230 drives. There's this really cool enclosure. We already talked about this one from the charge disk, which is super small enclosure here. Well, I have another one that's also really small, but it has a screen on it that shows you like, yeah, that will show you, you know, information and stuff like that about like the drive, and it will show you a progress bar of like when you're transferring really cool. files and stuff like that. And it's super small. It's tiny because it's M.2 2230. So that'd be kind of cool to check out as well. This is from DockCase. And they make some cool stuff. Like they have a let me go there. They have like a card reader and stuff that has the screen on it too that shows you all of your transfer speeds and stuff like that too. So,
it's a USB hub even. That one was.
Yeah. So yeah, some pretty cool stuff from them. So interesting to see what that's all about. If it's just kind of I haven't installed a drive in it and tested it, so it could be completely gimmicky and not
right. Work. I mean, that'd be right.
So
transfer speeds or something.
Yeah. So we'll see how that all goes. But that is what's coming next week. The question of the week, it just has to do with Computex. Have you seen anything really cool, or have you been impressed with anything at Computex?
So like we talked about in when we were both excited for that custom case. Kind of a letdown. I don't know that we had an article yet on our site. Maybe we'll have one for next week, but I did like Fractal. They have a new take on the Era 2 case. And then they also had a
wireless headset. Or Era?
Era.
ERA? Era 2.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. They have two cases. The Era 2 is the one I like. And then they had a chair and a headset. So it was like,
I did see the chair. Products.
It looks nice. It's like not your standard like gamer racing chair. It's looks more like an office chair, and it looked very comfortable.
Interesting, the Era 2. That thing looked super cool because we did the original review of the original Era. I did not like building it at all.
I remember that, but it looks so good.
Yeah, no, it did. It looked great. It's like you kind of like a unibody design where you don't really see any of like the side panel lines.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's just a really nice design. You know,
it's just kind of a neat design and a iteration of the Era. Trying to think if there's anything else that I had seen though.
So this is their other. I have one of them, so we'll be releasing the review of that coming up.
Oh, cool.
So definitely stay tuned for that. It looks like a little speaker with the kind of fabric mesh on it. It's pretty cool. But yeah, no, I did see they had a gaming chair. Because do you remember? I don't know if Ryan, you remember, we had dinner with Fractal at CES. They said we're gonna come out with a product that we never came out with. And I guess that it was gonna be a NAS, like a NAS that looks like the Fractal North. And I was like, it's not that.
I'm trying to guess what I thought it was. I don't remember.
I didn't think that it would be a game, like a chair.
It's so far away from what they do, right?
But it makes sense because they're the brand where you have this kind of cozy, they're turning into the brand where you have the cozy, nice sort of aesthetic look. And if you could match your chair to your system, you know, you're set, you know, so. All
right. I was trying to think of any other companies that I had seen stuff from. I know EK has been in the news a lot lately, but they had some cool kind of modular water cooling products that looked neat.
I haven't seen connections and everything. It's so hard. Like, there's so much to go through when I'm looking for the stories. And yeah, then I see something and I'm like, okay, then I'm going to write three stories. And then it's, then there's just so much more.
Silverstone has a, what is it? Is there?
I did see some Silverstone stuff as well.
It's the Alta T1, and it reminds me of their TJ07, I believe it used to be. That was like a really high end case. Yeah, the Alta T1. Yes.
I'm seeing Alta F1 on their website, but I'm not seeing a T1.
Yeah, they may not have it on their website yet. Yeah. But it's more of like your workstation type. It's okay. A big case. I mean, it's very large.
Yeah.
But reminded me of one of their real popular high-end cases from back in the day.
Nice. Yeah, like I said, there's a lot. There's just so much. And I think it is kind of cool to see a lot more kind of prototype stuff. I think since COVID, like a lot of companies kind of dialed things down a little bit, kind of made safer, or they just didn't, you know, weren't coming out with sort of the prototype stuff. And I think especially we saw, I mean, CES felt like we were back, like we were really back, but I think Computex is really like, we're really back. Like there's just a lot of cool stuff going on.
Yeah.
And interesting things too. So yeah, really, really cool to see. Obviously, like I said, we'll have so much more coverage next week on the podcast, because I'm going to be looking at motherboards. Like I said, I'm going to be trying to find articles on motherboards. There are some new cases. I'll definitely take a look at that Fantex Evolve X2. I reviewed the original Evolve, so the Evolve X.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I did. So, old man in the chat, he's doing some buying. He's spending some money over here.
I know.
Old man, he said he bought a CyberPower LX1500GU battery backup. That's always good to have. Especially like I said, Asus, remember that UPS from Asus, they were showing that. I saw something on Twitter, but I didn't get to cover it.
I remember that. Yes.
Yeah, it's like a ROG battery backup thing, so we'll have to see what that's about as well. And then he also bought Hex Gear's E2 Pro wireless mechanical keyboard, brown switches, $20 on Amazon. Let's see what this is.
That's so low priced, right? I hate to say cheap, but that's so cheap.
Hex Gear's E2 Pro.
Wireless as well. So you got a battery in there. I mean,
for $20, like it's just worth picking up. It's like a 75% keyboard. And does it come with the pad?
How was it $20?
Was it a deal?
This was a $200 keyboard originally.
Well, that's what they're putting on their website. But right, yeah. I mean, it's okay, 100 even 100 here. Like, can I find it on Amazon? Did he have a deal?
Yeah, it comes with the pad, he says. With brown switches.
Wait. He's right. It's $20.
Hex Gear's
I might just get it just to get it.
Oh, I know. That's what I'm thinking.
And it's blue. They don't have the other. How is this? Is this like an error? Or is it just this cheap? So. Yeah, the exact same keyboard in white. So the white version is $74. Oh, this is a big, that one's the 99 key version, but yeah, this key, the 83 key keyboard right here. That's crazy that it's $20. Old man, did you get the blue one?
What's up up by the escape key? Like, they look like they're like three round. Like, is it the LED indicators maybe of like,
yeah, probably like,
shift caps lock and caps lock or whatever, yeah.
And it's Windows and Mac compatible. Interesting. Wait, is it also wireless?
Yeah, that's
Bluetooth.
Yeah.
And 2.4K. Yeah, how is this $20?
I know.
And it's hot swappable.
Type C, PBT keycaps, Kale box
switches, which are fine. Like for a $20 keyboard.
How are they making any money on this?
Maybe this is just like an old palette that they're like, we got to get rid of these.
I guess. I'm going to buy one right now.
I think I'm going to buy one too.
Before it goes back up in price.
It's a price drop detected. Wait, how do I? See price history. So maybe it's always been cheap and we're just dumb. No, like, I mean, since May 9th, it was $29.99. And then it dropped again to 19. This has to be like they're just out of, like they're, you know, let's see. 60 days.
One left. Order now. I'm just kidding.
I mean, I wouldn't be upset about it. I have a million keyboards. But yeah, I mean, like, let's see. 120 days. So it was like, I mean, it, you know, it was at 200 and then it goes down. I mean, it was rolling at 66. That's just crazy.
Ooh, do I want brown or red switches? I do like browns.
Watch this become your favorite keyboard now. Yeah, like, maybe. Old man's like, yeah, I bought two. Like, yeah, just buy one for a friend. Like,
buy one with the red and the brown.
Like, there are cheap, like, crappy keyboards that are more than this. You know what I mean? That are non-mechanical, that, like, are just kind of like
hot the swap, right?
Yeah, no, they're not even mechanical. They're just, like, these.
Sure. Membrane.
Whatever you, yeah, like, membrane, and they're, you know, some don't even have RGB lighting. They're wired. This is wireless. So wait, red switches, brown switches, red switches. I'll do brown switches. Still $20. I can get it tomorrow. We're going to put that in the cart. All right.
I'm going to go red.
Yeah. Well, thanks, old man, for that. Yeah, what he said, 20, like when I first saw $20, when he had
like
said
maybe
it
should be $199 or something.
No,
right?
No, I was like, oh, it's like, it's just this cheap keyboard. And then we like look at it and it's actually really nice, which is kind of funny. So yeah, thanks for the suggestion there. He also said that Chivalry 2 is free on Epic until tomorrow at 10 a.m. So get on that. I haven't like done any of the Epic Games like stuff. I haven't looked at any of the Epic stuff. But before we get out of here, anything else tech related that you wanted to talk about or anything like that?
I don't think so. I'm still waiting on a couple products to show up. I don't know, like, yeah. Well, yeah, where they're coming from, or
they said
whatever.
They were going to send them to you.
Well, and one of them's got a
deadline. Yeah,
a deadline. Yeah, so we'll see if closer.
That's the problem when like everybody's like Computex, so like they're not checking their emails anyways. So it's a tough thing. But yeah, lots of stuff going on. I've just been working on reviews. We have a lot of stuff coming. I didn't talk about this. I reorganized and I cleaned the my.
Is that arm new?
This is the same arm. No, I have a new one, but I haven't
behind you.
Behind
the monitor.
Oh, no. So when I got this desk, that's when I had the OLED, and the OLED just was sitting there. I just didn't put this monitor arm's been there. That's the old Dell 4K monitor that's like maybe 10 years old now. it's still there. But no, I have a new monitor arm, which maybe we'll see next week if I get it out of the box and stuff. But lots of stuff that I'm working on. But yeah, no, I organized the closet and I got rid of a bunch of stuff. And yeah, so.
How about, did you get rid of any of those cables?
I threw the entire box away. Yeah, I posted this picture of this box of USB cables that I've had for like 5 years, and I was like, I had a second box like that was growing that have like all newer cables, Type C's and things like that, and I was like, I'm just gonna throw this box away.
just throw it away. Yep. Just
yeah.
It's gone.
I just threw it away. But yeah, so we're going to jump over to Twitch. That's where we do our gaming stream, and Ryan runs that stream. So it's twitch.tv/thinkcomputers, where we'll be playing some Apex Legends, getting some gaming, of course, getting some reps in on the new ROG Azoth keyboard, so I can tell you if I like it for gaming or not. So we'll have all of that over there. So yeah, just jump over there. And like I said, more Computex stuff next week. Definitely stay tuned. I'll be working the entire for the entire week, just trying to get all these articles up because it is quite a lot to cover. So we will have all that for you guys next week. So see you then. Sweet.